Today on Real Radio.
3 o'clock that afternoon in Jerusalem, Jesus yells out, "Tetelestai! It's finished! Paid in full!" And the Bible says he dismissed his spirit at that and died.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, we've been spending a lot of time in chapter 13, mostly because, you gotta admit, this subject of divine love really has a lot of depth to it and might take a lot of description to really understand it. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Infinite Love of God.
And I wonder how many in Christianity can say, well, Jesus saved me 20 years ago, but you're still talking like a baby. You're still gossiping about people. You have so much time on your hands that you've got time to gossip about people. You have so much time on your hands that you have time to complain. And then there are those who are growing up in Jesus and they ain't got time for that. That's for kids to do. Because we're pressing onward and we're moving onward with our God. And Paul says at the church at Corinth, you got like a bunch of kids who've taken the gifts of God and instead of using them as tools, you've made them toys. And you're talking about how, oh man, you know what? You should see, I can speak in tongues and watch this and this. And, oh, well, I have the gift of healing, watch this. And it was all messed up. Wouldn't that change much? Huh? You turn on TV, Christian TV, and the guy takes off his Armani suit. He swings the suit in the air. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. He's swinging his suit in the air, and as he swings it over the audience, people are falling down and being healed. Of course, you can't prove it. He just says it. And listen, let me tell you, the world looks at that and says, what a bunch of dopes. And I agree with the world. What a bunch of dopes. This is crazy. Remember the Oreo cookie? The love has got to be there. And when that kind of stuff goes on, it only grandizes man. We need to grow up. It's sad that millions of people watch that and go, wow, sign me up. No, we need to start thinking. Paul says, I used to do that stuff, but I grew up. And he uses the word put away, that is to cast off. I put away childish things. Well, you guys, listen, have you ever been to a nursery, not plants, I'm talking babies. Have you noticed, and it's happened in our lives, when you see the babies, you ever go, like, you know, somebody has a baby in your family, and so everybody piles in the car, and they all go, let's go look at the baby. Mom's down the hallway, the dad is with us, we're looking at the baby, or the babies, all the babies are there in the room, there are all these babies. And which one is it? It's funny, we go like this. Well, which one's yours? We're so weird. Watch. Which one is it? That one. Third one over. No, that one. It's a boy. The blue beanie. That one. Oh, that one. Watch. Oh, that one. Couldn't recognize the kid. And then the next thing out of her mouth, he looks just like his dad. Have you noticed that? It's hilarious. He looks just like his dad. I bet you he's going to be an attorney. This is my granddaughter, Emmeline. Okay, see what she's doing right there? See her hands folded? It's time to eat. Here's what she says. Pay. To me, that sounds like pay. It's pray. But she says pay. And you take a, and you pray for the meal, right? You pray for the meal. And before you even get a chance to take a bite, she goes, pray. Okay, yeah, we'll pray. Thank you, God. It's a great meal. Thank you. All right, let's eat now. Pray. All righty then. Thank you. Yes, great meal. And you take two more bites and she says, pray. About 20 times in the meal, it's pray, what? Cute language, pay. But she's gonna grow up from that. She's gonna say pray eventually. And I just thought I'd throw that picture in there because she looks just like her grandfather, does she not? I mean, look at that. Just like, and so when we look at the baby, we go, oh, and we impose or transmit or place attributes or things, oh, look, just like her mother, just like her father. I bet you she's going to go to be an engineer. He's going to be up to a pilot. We don't know that. We're just saying it. But Paul is saying, grow up. Grow up in your Christianity. Put away those things that are silly and distracting and foolishness and press on with Christ. It's very exciting. We have new beginnings. Secondly, we have new development. We have new development going on. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. This is a tremendous statement. First of all, circle the word dimly and underline the word mirror. Why? Because Corinth, Greece, was famous for Corinthian brass. You say, so what? Corinthian brass made the best mirrors of the ancient world at that time. Here's the funny thing. You guys, Corinthian mirrors have been unearthed. There's millions of them that have been found. They were shipped all over the known world. In archaeological digs, they've been brought up, and they've been brought back to their own luster, their own state of when they were used. Here's the funny thing. You guys ever been to like a fair and they have those goofball mirrors where you walk up and back and your head gets big and then your rear end gets big. And if you just position right, your middle's big. You know what I'm talking about? What are those mirrors called? They're really foolish looking things. What's it called? Funhouse mirror. Weirdy, strange looking thing. A Corinthian mirror, that's how it was. That's the best they could do. Actually, the best they could do is look into water. They would use water as a mirror. But you had to hang your head down. So they had a Corinthian mirror, and you had to move it like this, church. You had to go like this to get the... You had to move it around. Are you with me? At best, you could not make out exactly your face. Paul says, we look through a mirror now dimly. As Christians, listen, you're going to want to hear this. As Christians, we have the Word of God given to us. The all-sufficient Bible is here. The power of God's Word is eternal. The only reason why you and I think it's weak is because we don't spend time to extract out of it. It's all-powerful. If we meditate on it, it will revolutionize our lives. We have no excuse. God has given us everything. But here's the thing. He has also told us in this perfect book that we look through a glass, a mirror, dimly. We know in parts. Do you have any questions for God right now? Do you have things in your heart where you say, how come? God, why did you? God, how can you be the God that he's saying that you are when I was born into a home that I was born into, an abusive father and a drunk mother and my brothers and sisters and all this? How can, God, what? My friend, listen, you're looking through a mirror dimly right now. Well, why is it when this family, these friends of ours were going to that movie with their kids to go see that show and a drunk blows the intersection and kills the whole clan, the whole family's dead in a second, and the drunk walks away completely fine? What's with God in that? I don't know. But we look through a mirror dimly. We all have questions like that. God, why? God, how come? What's with this? Why? Why am I losing my house? Why is my child sick? I don't know why. But we're looking through a mirror right now, dimly. And you say, well, is that where you're going to leave us? With that? For a moment. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 2, church, grab this. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, listen, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That verse is amazing, church. Keep it on the wall. You guys, check this out. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is a profound statement. Here's the reason why. It is announcing to us that as a Christian, we can see better than anybody else in the world, but even still, our sight is limited. Thus, faith must be in our lives. But it's not without hope. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, and that's I have no doubt that that's what Paul was thinking about. In Numbers 12, verse 8, God said, I am going to speak to Moses alone, face to face, like someone speaks to his friend, and I am not going to talk to him in veiled mystery or in a cloud. I want to talk to Moses face to face. Who said that? God said that. About who? Moses. Didn't Moses say that there's going to be another one who comes who's greater than me, him you will hear? It's a reference to the Messiah. Amazing statement. Moses somehow saw God and didn't die. The Bible says it's impossible to look upon God and live. Moses saw him by the divine intervention of God. And remember, he had to veil his face when he came back down to the presence of the children of Israel. It so changed him. And then the Bible turns around and says to the Christian, we behold with unveiled face. It's a reference to Moses. Moses had to cover his face. You don't. Why? See, Jack, nobody glows. You're not glowing. There's something bigger than glowing. There's something bigger even than the gifts of the Spirit at work. It's the love of God. The love of God coming out of your life, not your own love coming out. Our metered love, our conditional love. Our love says that if you do this, then I'll do that. No, God says, listen, even if you don't do this, I will do that. And Paul says, with unveiled face, you guys as believers get to behold the glory of God. But he tells us immediately then again, but it's still veiled in such a way, we will see the glory in the end. There's a day coming. Now, hang on, you're still asking that question in your head. What about this? Look at the next consideration, verse 12. We have our new aim, and here it is. But then I shall know just as I also am known. Oh, my goodness. I will know then, when? When that which is perfect has come. When we don't need a Bible anymore. When we won't need air to breathe anymore. When we won't need food to eat like we have here. We'll be with him. And the Bible says, you will know even as you are known. You say, what does that mean? Nobody knows me. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know three people. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God knows you. He knows everything, and he even knows your motives, my motives. You don't even, see, you and I, we don't know our motives. God knows our motives. Why we do what we do, God knows. So watch this. You will know then as you're known now. You say, well, how does that answer anything? Because you know the guy running through the intersection and killing those people, and it all seemed unfair to you? When we know what God was doing, it will be perfect with us. You see, here's the truth. Hang on to your seats. Get this. It's going to take faith to receive this. If God were to tell you the answer to the question you're upset about, the dilemma that you're entertaining right now, if he were to tell you the answer, you would not believe it. You know why? We haven't grown up that much yet. We can't handle it. If God were to explain to you why you were born into the home that you were, if he gave you the answer right now, you would not believe him. In fact, didn't Jesus say to the disciples, I have so much more to tell you, but you're unable to bear it now. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll tell you. So listen, there's going to come a time according to the Bible that when we are with him. Now, I'm making this part up now. Either A, he will explain it all to us when we say, how come that guy went through the intersection and took out that Christian family down the street? Either he'll answer that, or the moment you and I enter eternity, we will know even as we are known. We won't have the question. Can you imagine? God, I had a million questions to ask you. All answered. All answered. It takes faith right now, my friend, to let God have control of that. In verse 13, it's in contrast to our everything. our everything like this. Listen, now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the tri-shield for the believer, faith, hope, and love. You guys, we're invincible if we cling to these things, faith, hope, and love. Number one, in contrast to our everything, like the actions of our faith, the infinite love of God, listen, our best actions, our faith, wanes in comparison. Alan Redpath, the great Bible teacher, expositor, said, true saving faith is to say, that type of faith that is evidenced among those who are saved, that it is engaging, active, and an aggressive faith. Now abides faith. Now, faith. We need to exercise faith now. You will not exercise faith in heaven. Can you imagine being in heaven? Oh man, what's the matter with you? I just need more faith. For what? Oh man, I just want to have God's will done in my life. Dude, will you open your eyes and look around? You're in heaven. You won't need faith there. And then hope. You think you're going to need hope in heaven? You'll need no hope in heaven. Interesting. But what does abide forever? The love of God. Three things will be done. This faith. Some have said this regarding faith. Faith shouts, Jesus Christ came to save me that day. Faith shouts like that. Jesus Christ came to save me that day. And then we look at hope. Verse 13, the patience of our hope. Now abide hope. And do all of you understand this? This is not the hope, like you hope. It's not the hope, oh, I hope so. That's not what it means. It's the absolute fact. It's the assurance of. And some have said, hope shouts, Jesus Christ is coming again someday. Faith shouts, Jesus Christ came to save me that day. Hope shouts, Jesus Christ is coming again someday. And then love. Love shouts, Jesus Christ lives in my heart today. Verse 13, the growth of our love. Listen, Christian, right now, today, believer, you and I need to pray, God, manifest your love in my life. Not my love, your love, God, please. And I want you to think about this. Do you understand that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is God's Son sent to this world by God to die on the cross for our sins? Number one, it couldn't have been an angel or a man because it had to be innocence and perfect righteousness to pay the price that a holy God demands. The Bible says God is holy. He cannot lie. He can't do what we do. We can say one thing and then change our mind and flip on it. He can't do that. God, in all eternity, before the world was ever made, before you were ever born, God is holy. But mankind sinned against God with Adam and Eve from the beginning. God, who is holy, still loves us. For him to maintain his integrity and also his nature, which cannot change, he's immutable, something's got to be done. If mankind is to be rescued, then who is going to pay sin's debt? That's why none of us will get to heaven by being good. You say, well, Pastor, I find that highly offensive. Sorry, I love you, but I don't care. If you think you're so good that you can just get into heaven on your own, then what in the world was Jesus doing at the cross? Well, I'm better than my neighbor. So that means there'll be two people in hell and one's better than the other. What does that do? You can't get to heaven from here by being good. There are none good, the Bible says, none righteous, no, not one. It's not a suicide mission. The Jews didn't kill him and the Romans didn't kill him. He laid down his life. And he said, I'll lay it down and I'll raise it up. And Jesus went to the cross. That's why he didn't defend himself. That's why on the cross he shouts out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then, 3 o'clock that afternoon in Jerusalem, Jesus yells out, Tetelestai, it's finished. paid in full. And the Bible says he dismissed his spirit at that and died. Price paid, I'm out of here. Mankind is purchased. The holiness of God is appeased. God is just. Jesus dies for us because we're sinners. Jesus dies for God because he's holy. The word of God is held intact. God's integrity is intact. The sinner's bought and paid for. Jesus, watch this. Listen, there's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. You and I think of the word testament in light of death. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ. What is it? That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus dies, and the moment you die with a will, and he dies with a will, the moment you die with a will, the will is empowered. Until you're dead, your will is meaningless. If you don't have a will, that's a mess. The state gets everything you have. Your kids get nothing, your family gets nothing. But if you have a will, it's still meaningless until you die. The moment you die, the will is empowered. By what? Your death. Jesus dies on the cross. He empowers the will. What is it? The New Testament? That's in his blood. And what's this? He's dead now. I've been there. It's amazing. It's empty. Nothing to see, but it's there. Anyway. Death. Imagine if I could personify death. Death comes along and it looks at him. And it starts to poke his body. And if it had teeth, it would try to take a bite of him, and it can't. This is unlike any other human body I've ever encountered before, says death. Then it pulls out its long, creepy fangs or claws, and it begins to try to grab his flesh to pull it down into hell, and it can't. Death shall not have any grip on him. It can't control him. Death. Grave, where is your victory? Where is your sting? It has been shattered. There was nothing, listen. I know I'm 54 years old, but I like to climb the tree that's in my backyard. It's awesome up there. It's an old tree, it's really high, it's very cool. But I look for branches that are accessible for me to climb. Imagine, death came along and looked for sin to grab on, to pull it down, and it's like Teflon, Jesus, there's nothing there. It can't grab onto him. And the Bible says, on the third day, he rose again from the grave. And the Bible says he defeated death and the grave. Now, that's my kind of king. That's my kind of God. And here's the deal. I may be imperfect. I may be a knucklehead. I may be a sinner. I may be a creep. But this I know. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, rose again from the grave. And since I put my faith in him, he's changed my life. I'm not the same person I was last year. And I'm not going to be the same person I am next year. Here's an awesome thing. It's all free, but it costs God everything.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. The infinite love of God, that's the title of the lesson today, taken from this part of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I'd like to take this chance to remind you that tonight, you can go to hischannel.com and watch our television show called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, the fact is that airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time, hischannel.com, and we really think you'll like it, so go check it out. Now, a few weeks ago, you saw Pastor Jack sit down with his special guest and my good friend Amir Tsarfati. They discussed God's promises regarding Israel, and it was fascinating. Well, tonight, Amir joins Pastor Jack once again to address what's happening with Israel and her neighbors. Now, maybe you've heard Pastor Jack say in the past that if you don't know Scripture, well, you'll never really understand the conflict in the Middle East. Well, that's what tonight's Real Life with Jack Hibbs is all about in part two of this interview. Now, if you missed part one by any chance, that's the beauty of hischannel.com. Simply click Video on Demand, and you'll see what to do right there at the top of the page. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. We really hope you'll check that out. Our phone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.